in defense of some, and I'm going to stereotype and say dads, but they get blasted for not wanting to spend time with their kids. And then when they try to do that, there's no give. There's no flexibility.
Right. Because it's not, well, you don't just get to do it when it's convenient for you. Well, I don't know when else they can do it. Now, look, let's be real. There are times when dad will meet a girl and all of a sudden their weekends are tied up with a new woman. And then something happens with the relationship. And now the dad wants to come back. And we get all bent out of shape. And it's like, look, is it right? No, it's not. Does it suck for the kids? Yes, it does. But you know what sucks more is if dad doesn't want to spend any time with them. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Allison.
How are you today?
I'm doing really well. Thank you.
Really well.
Really well. Yes.
Good. Excellent.
Have an HRT update for everyone. That's hormone replacement therapy.
Well, given that 87% of our audience is women, I think we all know what HRT is. Let's hear it.
So I started last week. I got my stuff.
Are you getting patches?
I started in the middle of my last week.
Spells?
Oils and potions.
Oils and potions.
There may or may not be some nude dancing in the moonlight. No, I'm kidding.
Eye of Newt.
Hey, if that's what it takes.
Some.
No, I'm taking oil, a little.
Fronds of hemlock.
I'm taking a little progesterone pill at night before bedtime.
That's good for the sleep.
It is. And then in the morning, it's a transdermal spray. It's got like a little cone to hold it in. And I spray it on my forearm. Two pumps.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. What's in the spray?
That's the estrogen. So okay. It's the progesterone at night in the pill, and the spray is the estrogen in the morning. And I'm going to say I'm already seeing some improvements.
What are the improvements you're seeing?
I've been sleeping better.
Mm-hmm.
I think since I started, I've only had one hot flash.
As opposed to what?
Oh, multiple per day.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
So they told me sometimes some women experience maybe a little bit of spotting or a little bit of cramping because it's kind of waking up the sleeping giant down there.
Uh-huh.
And I will say I did have, it would be too much to call them cramps, but definitely like some little twingy things happening. So I knew, I was like, oh, these must really be.
They're going.
Yeah.
Waking up from their nap.
Yeah. I was like, stuff's really kicking in. But they did say that some people start seeing some improvements right away, but you really kind of hit peak improvement like around week 6.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a follow-up call next week and then some more like around that week 6 time frame to see if we need to adjust anything. But I'm obviously already having some improvements, which has been really good. It's not super dramatic, but I feel like my energy level is picking back up a little bit. So I'm just sharing this because if anybody's kind of been on the fence, I would say based on my experience, definitely worth talking to your doctor about or finding an online service that handles menopause and think about it because it is, I'm going to say, I think it's already starting to help me. So I'm very excited.
And are you officially postmenopausal?
Almost. So if I make it to April 23rd, it will have officially been 12 months since I had a period. So close enough that.
Interesting. There.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So well, just a little fun update. Things are.
I'm glad.
I asked for help. Good I for made you. Myself a priority. And improvements are being made.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I love that. So you'll be back to 100% and ready to take on social media again at the end of season 2.
I know. Like, can my timing be better?
No. Oh, my God. Oh my God. Everyone will be happy to have you take it back over. Although our TikTok, we're growing.
I love that.
We're growing. I saw you followed us. I was like, great. I can't follow us because I can't have two. I don't want two accounts. That's too much. I've already got the one. I already got the one. Well, good. That's awesome. That's a good update. It's a good update. And it'll give you energy as you head into the summer and start all things summer.
Right.
Which your summer, in terms of summer vacations,
yeah,
starting next month.
Yes.
You have some big trips coming up. So there's our segue
into
today's topic. what did we call this one? Co-parenting 101, fun, son. And what was the third thing? I forget. It was in our weekly newsletter and I had to reboot my computer so I didn't have time to look it up. What was it, Jen?
Fun, son, and hopefully you don't need a gun. No, that's not it.
Here's our weekly weekender, our weekender weekly. What was it? Son, fun, and co-parenting 101, navigating summer vacation plans. There we go.
There we go.
It's good timing because before Jen and I hit record, we were chitty chatting about all kinds of things.
Yeah.
But mainly weekends heading into the summer, because in our family, apparently somewhere along the way, the tradition became that our summer weekends were spent in gyms watching basketball games.
Yeah.
Which neither Jen nor I are, however, we're happy to do this for our children. But let me tell you, folks, it is a beatdown.
There's some pain.
There's a lot of pain. Now, fortunately, we're both two pretty fairly boring families, and so we don't have a lot of plans. But we do. The next coming months, we do have some plans, and we have some conflicts.
Yeah, there's a lot of travel.
We got to figure out, and there's been some moving of the scheduling and all that. And so we thought, what a good time to talk about this. Where do we want to start, Jen? I didn't send out any notes this week.
That's okay. I think
because I spent yesterday at the Perot Museum with probably the cutest 4-year-old.
Oh, that's so fun.
He was so stinking cute. And I mean, now, obviously, I'm a mom. So the two cutest 4-year-olds in my mind are my own, right? That's normal.
Sure.
But let me tell you what. This would be a runner up for sure.
He didn't run for their money.
He was so cute and so inquisitive and observant.
Yeah.
He walked into one exhibit and it was like animals. I forget what it was called. It was on the earth, second floor with the earth. It's right outside of the engineering where all the hands-on stuff is. This was my first time at the Perot. I'd never been before. And so I got to see it for the first time through the eyes of a 4-year-old, which was really
fun.
That's
a good way to see it.
Yeah. Now, I did kid earlier. I was like, oh, I feel like the Pro Museum was like Vegas. When I kidded, when we were there, I go, oh, I feel like I'm in Vegas, like a casino for kids. And everyone was like, yeah, like all the lights and the bells and all of that. And by the end of the day, me and I haven't named him yet. I don't know what to call him.
The man friend.
My boyfriend. He suggested a music man. I thought that was a good one.
That is a good one.
It is a good one because he's very into music. And he's introduced me into some great, fantastic music that I love. It's his grandson. So we were there and we walked into that animal thing. And he goes, the little guy goes, I want to see the shark. And we're all like, there's no shark here. This is Earth. He's like, no, I want to see the shark. And And like in one exhibit, there was this tiny picture. It was maybe a 4x6, maybe a 5x7.
Oh, I know that one. Yeah.
Of a shark. And we were all like, how did he zero in on that? It was just amazing to see that. But this kid, I mean, his vocabulary is off the chain for a 4-year-old. The questions, the things how he describes things and tells stories is great. So we had fun. So why was I talking about this? Why did I start talking about it? I did it again, Jennifer. We were talking about vacations.
Yes. You didn't send notes because you were busy at the Perot.
I didn't send notes because I was busy at the, thank you.
What that is?
That's the estrogen in the HRT.
It's kicking in already.
Maybe I need some HRT.
Maybe.
Oh my God. All right. Anyway, so I didn't have time to send notes. So I don't know what we're talking about here.
When I first suggested this topic, what was kind of in my head was we've talked about some of the challenges when you get divorced and you're co-parenting. And I could definitely see, like, if you had talked as a family about taking a special trip, right? Now you're divorced. Who's doing
the special trip?
The special trips. And So my initial thought was looking at it from that perspective and where that could be a source of conflict or a source of upset and how you work through that. But then I was also thinking, on the other hand, it can also be a source of relief.
Oh, I can think of a specific example of that.
Yeah, you can. Because I've taken thing one and thing two to Disney World, and you have zero interest in doing it. So I thought that was interesting too, because depending on how you look at it, depending on the approach you want to take, it can either work really well for you and be a source of, dare I use the word, relief, right?
Yeah, I think relief is good. I got to take thing one to Europe.
Yeah.
Twice.
Yes.
I'm taking thing two on a big trip this summer.
Right.
We're going to go see some baseball, go to Cooperstown.
So for me, my thought in talking about this today was really how your mindset and how your approach to negotiating family trips, summer vacations with your kids, when you're in a co-parenting situation, and maybe you can't necessarily do it both together, where there can be challenges with that, but also where there can be some benefits.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the third option, and again, not going to work for everybody, but another option is, why can't you take a family vacation together as a family? And we know some people who've done that. We've done that.
We did a mini one.
We did a mini one.
Yeah.
It's almost, to me, this is almost like a very light baby version of our nesting episode, right?
Yeah, I can see that.
Like, how do you navigate all that? And then the other thing I was thinking about too is that, what are these special trips that tend to get people's emotions running high, and where, let's say, two divorced parents might feel a sense of competition of who's going to get to take this trip?
Oh, I'm sure that happens a lot
with their child. And I was thinking about that too. And I was like, but who's determining that this is the great and special trip?
Mm-hmm.
We've both had enough experiences with our kids where you plan something to do with, and it doesn't even have to be a vacation, right? It could be family outing, whatever, but you plan it. You've hyped it up so much in your head, and it's really about your expectation, and you're the one who thinks it's going to be special, and you drag the kids there and they're like, meh.
Yeah.
And then I also was thinking about, like, there's things that we thought were like no big deal, just not going to be a big thing, and they've ended up being some of the most fun, special moments we've shared.
Like my crappy little trip to Galveston when I was battling fun dad syndrome.
Exactly.
Yep.
So I thought about that too, like just starting with the premise of, what is a super special trip? And I think there are things we think about, like taking your kids to Disney World, for especially if it's their first time going, or like you said, maybe going to Europe or going to Hawaii, or some of those big kind of bucket list dream vacations. And if those are things you've talked about as a family and you've kind of thrown it out there and the kids are kind of expecting it, but now you're divorced, who's doing those things? And kind of the rivalry and competition, and frankly, some of the possessiveness, right? Like, no, I want to do that trip.
It's all a negotiation.
It is.
All of it is a negotiation, and being able to recognize, back to your point, that was a great question about who's defining special.
Yeah.
It's usually the grown-ups.
It is. Right?
And it's based on expectations.
Yeah.
And those are the trips that are usually so built up in your head that they end up falling flat. And it's like, I would put our Greece Rome trip in that bucket, Jennifer. We had very high expectations about that trip for you and I with thing one. And the challenge that came up is that you and I, if you and I had gone on that trip alone, it would have been the best trip in the world, because our expectations were 100% aligned. But the problem is we made a basic rookie mistake in that it was her trip and we never asked her what her expectations were.
Yeah.
And so Jen and I got very, you and I got very frustrated about that, because her expectation was to see the sites and get a lot of pictures in front of the sites and be able to share those out on her Insta. You and I were going nuts with that. This is hilarious. We're talking about this. I went to show the Music Man. I just wanted to show him a picture of the Pantheon because I am reading Anthony Dewart. Don't let me lose track of where I want to go. No. Okay. What was I going to say?
Expectations,
social media. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. I went to look up a picture of the Pantheon from that trip and I kept having to scroll through pages of selfies and pictures at the Trevi Fountain. And I was like, oh yeah, I remember all this. And we got very frustrated because all she wanted to do is take selfies and photo shoots. And we wanted to go see ruins and learn history. Right. Why on earth do we think that that's what she would want to do?
Listen, and that was still a great trip.
It was a great trip. That's the difference.
We walked into it with different needs and expectations. Yes, and
exactly.
Where there were moments of frustration or whatever on the trip, that's what it all led back to, right?
I think that had we set proper expectations, we could have done that same trip a little bit differently and everyone would have been happier. Like if we would have said, okay, today we're going to go see, I'm thinking about when we were in Mykonos. Today we're going to shop and have lunch, just the three of us. And we're going to take a lot of pictures and we're just going to relax versus we're going to see the windmills. We're going to go this, we're going to do walking tour. We're going to do, it was too much. Also too much that you and I did it with COVID. No, oh my God. It's a story for another day. So anyway, special trip. That is what we get ourselves caught up in. And so to your point, particularly with Disney, that would not have been a special trip for me. That would have been a beatdown.
Yeah.
And because it would have been a special trip for the kids, I could have potentially ruined that experience for them because I can't deal. I know myself well enough to know that you put me in an amusement park. Number one, I hate amusement parks. I hate them. I don't like rides. This is not my jam. It's just not my thing. Amusement parks, crowds, lines, heat, expensive. There is nothing there. That I would enjoy.
I actually did just this morning. I was watching. It was so timely because we were talking about this, but it was about this guy talking about doing the rope drop at Disney. And it's somebody who's a YouTuber and he's like, it was his first trip to Disney. And he was like, okay, I asked you people, what are the things I absolutely have to do? And everybody was like, you have to do the rope drop. You have to do the rope drop. And he's like, but none of you prepared me for what a shit show that is.
And what is a rope drop?
So when you stay on property, they'll open up the parks an hour early before they do for general admission. So you get an extra hour. It's not as crowded. The lines aren't as long for the rides. And it's when they literally drop the rope at the entrance for people to go into the park. And people get there early and line up. And it's I was laughing so hard because he's absolutely right. It's like the Hunger Games.
What? There's nothing enjoyable about that. What is that all about? That's about people wanting to be first.
Yes.
That's about people wanting to feel like they have something other people don't. That is unhealthy.
Right. It's like getting to ride a ride that might, especially if it's a newer feature ride that might typically have a 3-hour wait time for the line. If you get there for the rope drop and you're one of the first ones in, you can get on it in 15 minutes versus having to wait forever or maybe not getting to do it at all. So no, you're absolutely right. It's about
paying to one up somebody.
He was making me laugh so hard because he was talking about you see these sweet moms with their little 2-year-old and he's smiling and waving at the baby in the stroller. And then the moms are using those strollers to take people out, or you've got some sweet little grandma from the Midwest on her jazzy scooter. And like the second that rope drops, it's like taking off like a rocket and she's mowing people down to get to the I was like, he's not entirely wrong.
Well, it's Black Friday. Black Friday. It is. Same way.
It's that same kind of vibe. It's that same kind of vibe.
Yep. It's Black Friday vibe. That's why I don't do Black Friday. Yeah. So special. That's a really good. So how do you navigate that if parents aren't as aware as perhaps we are?
We get so caught up sometimes. And I'm going to use the word competition because it's the best one I can think of, right? Mm-hmm. Like in competition with our co-parent and focusing on the lack, right? Well, if that parent takes them on this trip, then I'm missing out. I'm
Let's
lacking.
Use Disney. That's a big
I don't
one.
Get to I don't get to have those special memories with my kid. So
right.
it's very focused on a competition between the adults.
Well, it's also entitlement.
Yeah, yeah, definitely that.
These kids are with me and we're back to fun dad. Okay.
Yeah.
These kids are with me. I have to do all the day-to-day homework, dentist appointments, doctor's appointments, battle illness, all that. I got to do all the shit work. And this guy, because he can afford it and makes more money than me, gets to take him to Disney and make all these special right. memories.
Well, and I've even had to like friends and stuff talk about they're divorced. And maybe their co-parent is planning a trip to take the kids to a certain city. And the other parent actually feels very possessive or very entitled about taking the kids to that city because maybe they used to live there. Or maybe they've been there tons of times on work trips and they know they could plan a better, and I'm air quoting, right? A better experience for that family trip because they've been there so much and they're so familiar with it. And then they feel like this other parent is coming in and like swooping in and taking away kind of, well, that's my place and I should be the one who gets to take the kids there.
Well, so the question I would ask is what's the motivation for the other parent picking that particular city?
It is. It's the competition.
Because there is probably a chance that they're rubbing their rub. I'm going to do it first. I know this is really going to piss him off or piss her off. So I'm going to take them here. I'll give you a great example. Okay. Scott and Thing 2 go to one Cowboys game, away Cowboys game every year.
Right.
Now, Thing 2 is an Eagles fan. Let me make that clear. But for one day, he's allowed to be a Cowboys fan.
Yes.
And he goes on this great trip with Scott and one of his closest friends ever and his boys and they go on a kind of a guy weekend. Sometimes the girls go, sometimes sibling, whatever. But they go to one Cowboys game, away game, a year. And one year they were talking about going to Philadelphia. And and in that situation, if Scott, that would have bothered me, right?
Right.
He was 10. Thing 2 was 10 at the time. And he called me and he's like, hey, we're thinking about going this, but I feel weird going because and to Scott's credit, I feel like he should go to his first home Eagles game with you. And I appreciated that because I agreed.
Right.
I agreed. And the other part of it is I actually did, and Scott brought this up too. I don't know if we want him going to an Eagles game at the Link as a Cowboys fan. That's, and I hate saying this, and it's very unfortunate, and I do not subscribe to this as much as I love to hate the Cowboys. It can be dangerous.
Okay, Allison, can I tell you, when we're doing our little trip up to Philly in May, Scott's friends that we're staying with, they've gotten tickets for us to go to a Phillies Rangers game.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, I'm going to go get like world champion. Right. He's like, no, you are not. No. I was like, I can't even wear a t-shirt. He's like, no,
no, no.
No. I was like, what is going on up there, girl?
We are rabid fans.
Oh my God. Jen.
Now the ballpark would be a little different. You will see some Rangers gear at the ballpark. Okay. That's a little too soon.
Maybe just like a nondescript Ranger shirt. Like, don't rub in the world champion thing.
I mean, it's just, it's one of those situations. Like, why put yourself in this situation?
Right, right.
And let me be clear, I wore Phillies gear to the Rangers opening day when they played. And I had a couple of comments. You're always going to have a couple of comments, but if the ballpark, if it's a day game at the ballpark, you are probably safer. But that'll be fun. You're going to go to the bank.
I'm kind of excited.
That's so fun. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. It's a great ballpark. You've been to a Rangers game here.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Several. Yeah.
Remember how I was like, the game was boring? They didn't interact with the fans. I want to get your honest opinion because maybe it was just me and I was just not my hometown ballpark. So I'll have to get your opinion on that.
Okay. All right.
No pressure. You have to report back. Hey, everyone. Allison here with a quick pause from our journey to share something extra special. Let me tell you about the heart of our podcast community over on Patreon. Our memberships offer some pretty incredible perks, including exclusive content, birthday shoutouts, awesome merch, and so much more. We have 3 tiers to choose from: a casual weekender for $5 a month, long weekender for $9 a month, and an every other weekender for $14 a month. Your support is what keeps our show going, and every bit helps us bring more of the content you love. If you're not a member yet and you're looking for another way to support us, consider leaving a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Our 5-star ratings are something we're incredibly proud of, in addition to the E for explicit, and your reviews help new listeners discover us. For those interested in joining our Patreon family, head over to www.patreon.com/everyotherweekend to sign up. We can't wait to welcome you. Now, let's dive back into today's episode.
No, but that was a thing where Scott was willing to give and was being considerate.
Right. Considerate and thoughtful, right?
Knowing
he could have said, hey, Greg picked the game and this is where we're going.
Yeah, so it's either that or he doesn't get to go, which puts you in a bad situation, right?
Well, I would have never not let him go. I might have done. I might have gone and looked for an earlier game.
Oh my God.
To take him as an Eagles fan. That sounds like me.
It does.
And you know what? That's okay. That's problem solving. But that's what you, you know what? It's okay to let your kid go. It wasn't, that event was not about Scott wanting to take Thing 2 to his first Eagles game at the Link and taking him as a Cowboys fan. Like that, if he wanted to be a total asshole, that would have been an asshole move that I'm sure a lot of ex-husbands and fathers would have done. Okay.
Right.
But it was about the trip for him. So if I did get all amped up, like, well, I really want to take him to his first Eagles game, I could have easily gone and gotten tickets and take him to do his first one ahead of time. We get so wrapped up in what's in it for us, we forget about the kid. And when you're doing that and you're thinking about those things and your head is in that space, your child has become a pawn in your divorce. And that is the red flag. That's the warning sign. When you start thinking about, well, he gets to do this and I don't do it. Now, what can I do? And where can I take him and do all of that? That is not about your child having a wonderful experience. And that is the place where I got myself during the whole fun dad thing. And finally, I was like, you know what? I can't afford to take him to Disney. I didn't want to take them to Disney, but nor could I afford it.
Yeah.
Okay. I am not going to be financially irresponsible just to one-ups. That's stupid, right? Do I want to go away with the kids? Do I want to take the kids on a trip? Yes, I do. Why do I want to take the kids on a trip? Because if the answer is, well, dad is, again,
that's not
about the kids. Right. I wanted to take the kids away because I wanted the kids and I to get away from town, get away from the routine, and have some space and time to have fun together.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
And that really can happen anywhere. So when you were saying like,
how do you negotiate
that, that's exactly it. It's instead of focusing on the competition with your co-parent, who can give more, who can do more, who can blah, blah, blah more. You got to shift that focus from that to the child. And when you do that, and it's not that there still might not be bumps along the way, but it definitely puts you in a different mindset when you are negotiating with that co-parent about vacations and who's going to do what and who's going to get what time. And it also, by putting the child at the center of that, what we've already touched on, that can dictate, well, what really is this trip for? I have a friend who's divorced and has two boys. And the dad planned, and it wasn't cheap, plans a very elaborate trip, but it was all centered around a hobby, an activity that he loves and that the boys really don't care about.
That's okay. Go on the trip with your friends, not your kids.
Yes, he got a little bit butthurt that they weren't as excited. Well, you never, it's exactly what you said. You never right. ask the kid, what do you want?
What do you want to do?
What would be special for you? What yeah. would be, and I get it. You have to put parameters around that, like what's age appropriate and what is financially responsible for your family situation. I'm not saying the kids drive the bus, but when they're more included and involved in the conversation, and when you as the parent stay focused on them, then it makes the negotiating with a co-parent, you go into it with just a very different mindset. And it's a little more cooperative instead of competitive.
And it's okay to do those kinds of trips where there's something you really want to do, as long as you're also doing something the kids really want to do, right? It's about a family vacation should be about the family, and they learn how to negotiate and advocate for themselves within that dynamic. Yeah, we do crazy things as grownups when we are hurt. Broken people do crazy things, and we do it without intention.
Right.
And therefore, it makes it really, really hard when you realize, oh God, I was such an asshole. So yeah, it's so back to the special trip, like define the special trip. Now, what about situations where you have an opportunity to take a trip and do something, but it's not your time with the kids?
Yeah.
What if you both want to go to the same place? Another option, I just read about this, the special trip Disney, where you go to the same place, but you negotiate who does what when. And so in that scenario, if we wanted to go to Disney for a week, okay?
Right.
I would fly there with the kids on a Saturday. Scott would fly in on Wednesday. We would exchange. I would come home Wednesday and he would stay till Saturday. And you negotiate, I'm going to do these things the first half of the week, and you're going to do these things the back half of the week. So the kids are all doing different things with different parents, but you negotiate who does what, and you share the experience separately.
Okay. I kind of love that idea.
It's a great idea.
Yeah.
So like, for instance, let's take Disney. Okay. I'm going to be traumatized even saying this, but let's say we went to Disney. I could take the kids on Saturday to Wednesday. And what we do is all the Star Wars stuff.
Right.
We go to the Galaxy's Edge. We, you know, do the thing. You guys come in Wednesday and you do Magic Kingdom, the back.
Right.
That's what that negotiation looks like. We all want to go to Europe. I want to take the kids to Paris. You want to take the kids to London. You fly into London for 4 days. I fly into London, meet the kids, take them on the train to Paris. We go to Paris for another 4 days and I fly the kids home. Now, what that also does is it shares cost.
We each
pay for our own plane ticket and we split the kids. You pick the round trip for the kids that works best for the other parent who's going or coming with them. There are ways to make it work.
There absolutely are. Yeah,
you really are.
You have to be creative about it, right?
You
have to give a little bit. Again, and we say this about so many things, even if you're not divorced, you have to negotiate and compromise and give when you're planning a vacation.
Well, you have to. Not everybody does. There are a lot of moms that do that. Say, this is the vacation we're taking.
Yeah.
And dads don't have much say in that. I don't know.
Well, and I think some dads don't want the say, right? They're just like, tell me where to be and what to pack and I'll show up.
Some truly don't want the say, but I think there are a lot, and it's probably moms too, right? But
yeah.
I think there are a lot of parents that are still married that just have given up.
And yeah.
Just don't want the battle. Just go wherever you want to go. But that's not what we're talking
about.
So,
I mean, and I guess that's another thing too, like just talking about reframing how you manage these trips, these kinds of trips when you are divorced, like that's a great way to reframe it too. Like instead of maybe one parent just coasting along, these circumstances almost drive both parents to be more involved and more intentional in planning these special kinds of trips for the children.
Mm-hmm.
And gosh, isn't that great? it almost forces everybody to be more intentional. That intentionality is what can make or break something.
Yeah.
And it is great to see, like, maybe a single dad who's having to plan a trip to the beach. What you're signaling to your children is, I think you're really important. I want to do something special for you. I'm going to plan something for us. And that's the whole thing, too. I think we get so caught up in the details of where we're going and what we're doing. But a lot of times with the kids, I think really at the end of the day, that's what they want, is just that, the where it is, the what it is, that's almost secondary to them feeling this sense of, my parent is prioritizing me. They care about me and they want to give me a special experience. And honestly, at the end of the day, your kids just want to spend time with you.
Right. That's why staycations work.
Yeah. If it's somewhere fun and flashy, that can be great and amazing. And listen, if you look at my travel history, I'm certainly not knocking that, but really at the end of the day, it is just about spending time with the people you love.
Yeah. I offered both kids when they turned 10 a trip. And thing one wanted to go to London and Paris. We went to London and Paris, she and I. And thing two, he hasn't told me where he wants to go on his trip. He doesn't really have a desire yet to go to Europe.
Right.
I'd love to take him. Would have been easy for me to plan one and drag him along, but I want to do it when he's ready.
When he's going to appreciate it.
He's going to have interest. And maybe it's not Europe. Maybe he wants to go to Peru. Maybe he wants to go to Africa. Maybe he wants to go to Thailand. I don't know. I just, of course, just rattled off three of my bucket lists.
That's good.
But, you know, I mean, it's not for me to say. We're going on a trip this summer. We're going to go see a couple of ball games. We're going to go see the Phillies in Philly. We're going to go up to Cooperstown, New York, to the Baseball Hall of Fame. We're going to go to the Basketball Hall of Fame. And then we're going to end in Boston. We're going to go see a Phillies game in Fenway. It's going to be fun. We're going to have a great time together. We both enjoy baseball. And we've talked about doing a trip like that. And he thought it would be really cool. So that was his birthday gift.
Well, and Christmas. I think that's the other thing, too. Like, even within a family, right? Our kids are different. They have different travel styles. And they have different interests, and the kinds of trips that are going to make thing one really excited and what she's going to be into is very different.
Yeah.
Thing two has a very different approach to trips and travel. And I'm going to say he is a little bit more of a homebody. And there's been times where for spring break, we've just done something very casual, or we've even stayed home part of the week. We haven't even gone anywhere the whole week. And he's perfectly happy with that. That kind of fits his travel style. It's different.
Well, I also think he's had a lot of trips imposed on him because he's the youngest.
True. That's true.
Yeah. So there is that. He's learned to go along and all of that, which we got to watch because that's where people pleasing comes into play. But we went to Broken Bow as a family. That
was
the second part, is trips together. Can you do trips together? We figured it out.
Yeah.
Once.
I think we could do it again.
Maybe.
I think you and I travel great. I think we have a very similar travel style.
It depends on the trip, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying, no, you and I do have a similar travel style. It depends on the trip, right? Yeah. Scott has no interest. Let me take this back. My impression is that Scott really doesn't have any interest in seeing Europe. He would go to see a couple of things to say he saw a couple of things. But Scott's idea of a vacation is sitting on his ass by a pool, having cocktails and chit-chatting with everyone.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's okay.
That's absolutely okay. Yeah.
I don't want to go travel like that trip to Greece and Rome 2 years ago. I don't want to do that every year. That's tiring.
No, right. Yeah.
That's tiring. I'm right now where my head is I need a Scott style vacation right now. I need to go sit by a pool or a beach and read in the sun and have someone wait on me. That's what I want right now. But that's about the negotiation. Mm-hmm. I think it was hard to do those types of trips when thing one was home because thing two was so much younger. Because there's 7 year age gap.
Yeah, that's
and
true
so
too.
He needed a lot more. Where she just wanted to relax and chill, he needed a lot more
go do, see. Yeah.
Hands-on.
Yeah. Activity.
Yeah. Attention. Activity. Well, he couldn't swim. So if he wanted to go in the pool, one of us had to go in the pool with him. If he wanted to eat, one of us had to go. Like,
yeah,
he required a lot more hands-on attention. Whereas thing one, you leave her by a pool, she can go in and out as she wants, whatever she wants, right? It's a lot easier. But now he's at the age where he might enjoy that. Our problem is that he hates to read, and that's all thing one and I know to do. So we get sucked into a book, and he's like, well, you know, he could bring his iPad or whatever and play games or whatever. But it's all about the negotiation. I read in these co-parenting groups that so many moms get so frustrated when dads want to mix up the schedule to take the kids during a time that works for them.
Yeah.
Well, how does he know that time worked for me? And nobody's asking me what time works for me. No. Well, you know what? He wants to spend time with this kid who he doesn't see very often. Maybe we could be a little flexible. Right? I don't know.
It is so funny. And I do sometimes sympathize. You're damned if you do, damned if you don't. Right?
Right.
In defense of some, and I'm going to stereotype and say dads, but they get blasted for not wanting to spend time with their kids. And then when they try to do that, there's no give. There's no flexibility.
Right. Because it's not, well, you don't just get to do it when it's convenient for you. Well, I don't know when else they can do it. Now, look, let's be real. There are times when dad will meet a girl and all of a sudden their weekends are tied up with a new woman. And then something happens with the relationship and now the dad wants to come back. We get all bent out of shape. And it's like, look, is it right? No, it's not. Does it suck for the kids? Yes, it does. But you know what sucks more is if dad doesn't want to spend any time with them. It can create emotional whiplash in certain circumstances. And that's where I think moms have every right to speak up and say, hey,
absolutely.
You know, this is a problem. And the other thing too, and this is now we're going to bring it full circle. When it's disruptive, when there's so little notice, it's disruptive to our schedule. If we got to basketball tournament schedule just came out.
This was the pre-record chitty chat was a discussion of the schedule.
There are two tournaments in June that fall during the time I'm out of town with thing two. Mm-hmm. He's going to miss those tournaments.
Yeah.
He just is. When I plan that trip, it's during my time in the summer. If I had planned that trip and not said a word to Scott about that trip, that would have been fine because it was my time. But that's not how we roll.
No.
And I called. I said, hey, I am thinking about taking thing two on this trip from this day to this day. Do you have any concerns about that? No, I think it's great. It should be fine. Blah, blah, blah. We had to switch a weekend or two because two weekends in a row fell on one of his weekends and we worked it out. And I booked the trip. And we just got the schedule yesterday. And lo and behold, there's not one but two. They're both the two tournaments he has in June. Both fall on that weekend. Now, usually the June tournaments are later in the month.
Right.
And
right.
So that's why we thought earlier in the month would be safer
would be
option.
Better,
yeah. And that's what we booked. And here we go. They're both earlier.
In the
month. It is what it
and
is.
And that's where everybody has to give. And that's what I was going to say, like when you were talking about like a parent wanting to take the kids on a trip when it's not technically their time. I think, again, what you have to do there is approach it with a little more openness and just get some more information. Yeah. Sometimes people are doing it just to be passive aggressive and be jerks, for sure.
For sure.
But sometimes there is a good reason. Maybe there's a concert or a game or an event that they really want to share with the child. And that's the time. Maybe it's not your co-parent that's driving that timing. It could be some other circumstance that's really beyond either of your control.
You could maybe be really into science with your kid and you want to take them to Dallas to see the eclipse. They're going to have to miss a day of school. That's your weekend, blah, 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 blah. We could say, no, they're going to miss a day of school. That's my weekend. You're not taking them to Dallas. That decision is not pissing off your ex. It's robbing your kid of an amazing experience.
Right.
And that's where I finally had to get to with Disney. I didn't want to take them to Disney per se, but I wanted to do something special and have fun because I spent so much time as their mom not being fun out of necessity.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I wanted to do something fun. I'm actually getting into that mode right now where I feel like, I want to do something fun. Like, well, thing two is home. So I'm trying to come up with ideas. Like we say, Jen, you got to leave your shit at the door and really ask yourself, why am I so resistant to this?
Yes.
Is it really about the thing and the trip, or is it about me? Is it about me that I wanted to do the trip? Is it about me that I want to do that trip and I thought about doing that trip, but realized I couldn't afford that trip? Mm-hmm. And now dad's doing the trip. That's a tough place to be.
It is.
Right. But again, is this a good experience for my child? Are they going to have fun? And does it give them an opportunity to create a strong relationship with the other parent? Because let's face it, it's not about one relationship being stronger than the other. It's about both relationships being strong. And it, as moms in particular, it is hard for us to nurture our kids having a better and stronger relationship with someone who we've determined, or perhaps they've determined, doesn't want to have a stronger relationship with us. And that's what makes it hard. Are you planning any other vacations?
No.
No.
And that's the other, that is the other thing too. I would just like, just as we're wrapping up, if you can figure this out early on, that's just going to be so beneficial, because I'm telling you, I think we're all experiencing this now. As the kids get older and people are maybe off at college or getting summer jobs or doing other things, it gets really, really hard to plan any kind of a family experience. And if you're trying to do that across two households, it's even worse. So if you can figure it out and set a good precedent, and you have a little more control and schedules maybe aren't quite so crazy, that's going to help you with those more complex negotiations you have to have when kids are older, have their own interests, have basketball, have summer internships, decide they're going to stay at college for the summer and take classes over the summer and work in whatever town they're in versus coming home for the summer. All that, it gets more complicated.
Yeah, you got to start letting go.
Yeah.
Because eventually they're going to want to take their own trips.
That's right.
You know, Thing 2 is in D.C. over the weekend. Did you know that?
I got a call from her about that.
She'll be in New York next weekend. I head to New York this week, hopefully. We're going to miss each other. She gets in Friday, I leave Friday. But that's okay, because I have to be here for a basketball tournament.
And there
and
we are.
So it begins. All right, Jen. Now I'm fired up. I'm going to look and see if I can plan something.
All right.
So we'll see.
Thanks, everybody.
Have a great day.
You've been listening to Every Other Weekend with Jen and Allison. You can follow Every Other Weekend podcast on Instagram and Facebook. If you haven't yet, subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on your favorite platform.
We'd also love to hear from you. Email questions and comments to hello@eowpodcast.com. You never know when we'll be talking about you. Join us next week for another episode of Every Other Weekend. Thanks for listening.